CliffCentral.com.
All right. That's one of Sia's relatives is distantly related to a whole bunch of Latino people.
Si. Yeah. Amigos para siempre. That means you'll always be my friend.
So ridiculous. Yeah. Okay. That was Anita, Lexa, Luisi Sonza, and MC Rebecca all
with
together.
Turun, dun, 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 turun,
yeah,
dun,
it's called Kombachi. I knew Sia would like it and nobody else. That's why I played it for him. All right, very, very nice. It is Friday. It is the 13th of December.
It's Ooh. Friday the 13th.
Yes, Friday the 13th.
Does anyone get scared about that kind of stuff?
No.
Superstitions. Remember, superstitions used to be a big thing. Now we're all just too bothered about how cuck life is.
No, life is already cut for a lot of people.
We've been distracted away these whimsical things like superstitions. No one talks about the stuff anymore.
Mm-mm. Well, knock on wood. But, you know, it's not that I don't believe, but I don't want something to happen for me to believe. So I'm not going to tempt fate.
Yeah, well, you don't need any excuses to have an anxiety attack about something.
Okay.
Do you remember when we compared Sia to Piglet from Winnie the Pooh? Because he was always anxious.
All the time.
Yes.
It's like if Roger from American Dad and Piglet had a child. It's talking about amalgamations. There we go.
Okay.
That's Sia.
She has a moment of that brought me some anxiety yesterday.
All right.
I drove over a branch a couple of days ago. It's been like wedged underneath my car.
And you've just been driving on.
He's just, yeah, he hasn't taken it out.
Just drives.
I
because
can't
the underneath of
out.
A car to Sia is like.
Doesn't matter.
A different world.
It's like the Twilight Zone. I'm not going into there.
He doesn't sit there. Absolutely not. So I took it to the mechanics.
What?
Guys?
No, sorry.
You didn't like this is like the start of the worst ever gay porno. You got to put a window under there.
You
so
just
let's take a look.
Me, if you just lay on the tar, I would have driven the car over you and you could have
pulled
it out yourself.
No. So already the mechanic, I had one phrase that I was told I needed to use. I was told to mention rear suspension, because that's where it's
locked.
Spike, who okay. works with us here at the office.
He knows a bit about
it. So that. I just knew, okay, that's what I had to repeat once I got there.
This must be the most awkward conversation of this guy's life.
The mechanical team now told me to drive
team.
Up. The shop. Garage thingy before you place. They told me to drive up the ramp. Have you ever had to drive up the ramp so that they elevate the car?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
That is... No, guys, that's a very scary
process.
But the
ramp is on the ground, though, before it gets elevated.
But you can still, like, swerve a little too much to the left. Next thing, I was thinking the car will flip.
Yeah, it's two straight parallel tracks.
Mm-hmm. On the ground.
Made for wheels.
I tried three times.
And to the dimensions of the average car, which means there's
with some leeway.
Very small. Very
Hundreds
small.
Of people all over the world do it every day.
And mm-hmm. you've got the smallest car.
Not I. Mm-hmm. I will not be trying it. I tried it three times, and then I gave my car over to one of the guys there. I asked them to drive it up, and they did.
You were too anxious to drive onto the thing where they check the suspension wheel alignment.
And then I had to walk away while they were dealing with the car because, heaven forbid, I thought something was just going to fall out of the car and then I'd have to see someone die because, like, the exhaust would, like, split their head open.
Jesus, Sia, what a
that's
horrible...
That's just an hour into my head.
That's horrible. I mean, that's the carnival that's going on inside your skull every day. Mm-hmm. Tell me quickly, the branch, was it enormous or was it just like a twig?
No, it was big. So I will fully own it. I underestimated it when I was driving the other day. So I saw it blatantly on the road, but I thought, I can drive over it.
You don't drive a very big car. You don't have 4x4 suspension. You don't have diff lock or any of that stuff.
You don't have ride height.
You don't have ride height. You don't have enormous tires.
But you took on the branch.
Yeah. No, like, honestly.
So did it damage your car? Because you've just been driving as if nothing's wrong.
It didn't. So there was the bigger part of the branch, which I actually had to stop the car and break it off. And I thought, oh, yeah, it's the whole branch is out then. But it wasn't up until I got home, I parked my car, and then I later had to leave again. As I was trying to reverse, my car was actually was spiked up because of this branch.
So it was so propped on the one side.
No, there was one wheel that was just spinning in the air. I thought, okay,
you're driving,
I need help with
driving
this
like
now.
A Mr. Bean car with three wheels.
So wait, what's the story with rear suspension now? Because you went in the rear suspension.
I sounded very smart,
yeah.
As if I knew what I was talking about.
Was there any issue with the rear suspension?
Use rear suspension in a sentence.
So
I thought it was a gay holiday.
Me too.
Where were you? Where are you going to be for December? I'm going to be in rear suspension.
How about you?
Want to play with my rear suspension?
Ah, yeah.
Carry on, Tim. I want to hear the sentence.
Yeah, I just basically told them that, you know, I drove over Broad.
No, use the sentence. Go, like,
say it
with authority.
As if you're in there.
Well, my voice went down a couple of decibels.
Yeah. You didn't go, hi!
No.
Hi.
I also took my glasses off because I have these new fabulous shades. So I didn't wear that. Then I went in there and I said, you know, yeah, it's just cuck on the road. You know, it was raining a couple of days ago. So yes, it's just a lot going on. I drove over Brant and I can feel it right now. It's like stuck in my rear suspension.
What a time to be a mechanic, huh?
Then they mentioned shocks and wheel alignment and my exhaust, and I was like, yeah, okay.
You went, okay, thanks, bye. Yeah. I'm just going for coffee, I'll be back just now.
Jumped in the car and never returned.
I'm not even joking. I went away and I FaceTimed a friend and I came back, voila, it was done and fixed.
Oh, my God. All right. Now, among other things this morning, we got Ronnie Kasrils, our former South African government minister and a leading figure in the African National Congress during the apartheid era, and afterwards also became a fierce critic of Jacob Zuma after he resigned from the Thabo Mbeki administration when Thabo Mbeki was forced out during that night of the long knives. You remember that? Ronnie Kasrils popped in. We spoke for like an hour and a half, maybe. What an interesting guy. He's written a book, a memoir. I mean, there's lots that we could have argued about, too. But this book was more of a memoir of his early life, and I didn't want to get into political discussion with him as much as just talking about his story. You know, he's an older guy now. He's looking back on the kind of life he's led, and he's taking it all in, and he's sharing some of it with us. So I thought that might be an interesting hour of your time, if you want to hear it, I think a fairly in-depth and quite illustrative story of someone's life. It might just be up your street. So that's today, a brand new interview. We recorded it earlier this week with Ronnie Kasrils, if you want to hear his story. That's coming up at 8 o'clock this morning. But before we get to that, let's get into some news. You remember there's that plane, that the Chilean plane that went missing? They couldn't find it. It was somewhere over the Antarctic, and people were concerned that there might be survivors. Well, I'm afraid there's bad news, but it's good news. At least we found it.
Unlike Malaysian Air.
Yeah, the bad news is
not everyone has been found, but there are human remains that have been found belonging to some of the 38 people on board. Also parts of this military transport plane. So that the last call received, they pinpointed where that was. They had to travel further, 30 kilometers to be exact, from that last call. So that's how long after the SOS call they still traveled for before obviously crashing. They've found things like a landing wheel, sponge-like material from the fuel tanks, part of the plane's inside wall, personal items as well, like a backpack and a shoe. So they are still combing the area for further, you know, things.
Bits and pieces of people.
You're calling them things? No, remains.
Flotsam and jetsam, sorry.
Do you guys remember that movie Alive?
Yes,
that Uruguayan rugby team.
They
also went down in the 80s. Yeah.
Was there no documentary on that, though?
It was a movie.
Was it?
I'm sure there's a documentary. Yeah, it was a movie. The rugby team went down and they had to eat each other.
Excuse me, is this based on a real story?
Based on a real story. Yeah. Obviously, they didn't eat them well if they were alive. The dead ones were eaten.
When did this happen?
In the 70s or so?
Yeah, decades ago.
And then how long were they stranded for?
long enough to eat each other.
Yeah.
And how and long short enough is to that?
Okay, so they,
how long is that for you so before you go?
That's a good question. So they had to hike to a certain area, of course, but it was so far that they wouldn't have, so they had to make putt course. So they just started going at it. But it is. It's one of those things, like, if you were to crash and there's no one around you, and you've got to fight off polar bears for 2 weeks until someone gets you, you're going to need some strength. You're going to eat your mate's leg.
Yeah, you're going to have to.
Or at someone least use that leg as a weapon.
But you start with the biggest muscle of all, the gluteus maximus, which is the ass muscle.
You're basically eating ass.
Probably want to have Gord there with me.
Yeah, Gord would be, he would sustain us for a long
sustenance.
Time. He would keep us going for a long time.
To Gugu's dying moment on this show, he's just giving Gord shit.
Gugu's favorite things have been to mock, to do old fat jokes about Gord. That's his favorite thing to
old
do.
Old fat jokes would be really inappropriate about girls from time to time. Those are his two hallmarks.
And those are the things we'll always remember.
So the film was in 1993, Alive, and based on the events of 1972.
Yeah.
Oh, that must be rough.
Yeah, I can't understand how this happened, but Jeremy Corbyn lost the UK election, and he announced his pronouns and everything. How could he lose?
How could he
lose? Jeremy Corbyn, leader of the Labour Party. My pronouns are he, him.
Oh, how did he lose? My pronouns are he, him.
A crusty old communist freeloader. How did he not win?
I know. So anyway, for those people who absolutely hate Boris Johnson and hate the idea of Brexit, I'm sorry, you're going to have another couple of months of absolute pain, torment, torture, ugliness, and you probably deserve it.
That was the most ridiculous thing. A man of his age being forced into saying something like my pronouns are, you can see his skin is crawling for doing something so stupid. No shit. Jeremy?
Yes. Yeah. Very, very good. So Boris Johnson's Conservative Party has officially won the UK election, and there are still some results coming in, but they've already passed the threshold to not only set up the next government, but also to go ahead with Brexit. So if anyone was of the opinion that maybe this was a mistake and somehow Britain just miscalculated and, you know, the people of Britain, finally, they would come round and see that remaining in the EU, that marvelous bureaucratic organization that's done no good for anybody, that somehow that was a good thing. Well, I'm terribly sorry, but you were wrong. And democracy is actually when people go and vote like they just have. Sometimes the result isn't what you want because you think that you know better than people. But that's unfortunately the problem with democracy. We sit with that problem often in South Africa when we have people who keep voting for the ANC. And we wonder about it, you know. But if you think, because you're in the elite and you think you know better, terribly sorry. It's not always going to work out well for you. Anyway, so that's the UK election 2019. Over and done with, and now the Brits can get on with their Christmas.
With their holidays.
Holidays.
In Mallorca.
Oh, thank God we finished with this stupid election there. Boris can get on with making Brexit happen and we can go away for the holidays. Get ourselves pissed.
A package holiday to Mallorca.
It's my favourite way to spend a cold winter month, so I'm not going to sit at home having to use fuel and firewood, having to burn gas. Bloody Jeremy Corbyn would have given us free gas, wouldn't he? Yeah, now we got Boris, he's going to give us nothing for free. Anyway, all right, please tell Leanne that the new I word has started and the opening scene is a muff dive. L word, sorry, is, and the opening scene is a muff dive.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Muff
dive. It's a very old mot dive.
Bello says, morning team, it's Friday. If anyone doesn't have a hangover cure for the long weekend, they can check out a series called C. I saw it on Apple TV and it's amazing. Oh, okay.
S-E-E.
Yeah. A hangover cure. Surely that would be news?
I was thinking about that this morning, hungover as I am. It's 2019, and like I'm sure we tackled polio, didn't we?
How can we not have a hangover cure? How can this not be a priority for medical science?
And before some smartass says, well, if you drink 3 liters of water before you go to bed or some shit like that, no, that's not a cure. That's like an exercise. Mm. I want to just wake up,
take a pill. It just means you're going to pee in your bed.
Which isn't
no,
good.
Leanne, it's no time for your personal stories
no
now.
No time for bragging.
It's not mentioned that.
It only happened
that.
3 times.
All right.
No, I don't think you're joking. That's the problem.
You want to go to a voice note? Feel like hearing from somebody?
Okay.
All right, let's. I think this is Sean. Let's go to Sean and see what he has to say this morning. Go ahead, Sean.
Good morning, gentlemen and gentle ladies. I just thought I'd quickly let you know that today is my last working day for 2019. I'm on leave as of from this afternoon, 5:15, and I've made target. Everything is good. Yeah, you guys must have a lekker rest of the year working. I'm on fucking leave. I'm going to have a brandy this afternoon.
Thanks very much.
Cheers, guys. Have a good one.
Bye-bye. Thank you. I love it when people boast to you about how great their lives are and how they're on holiday already. We will be here until the 24th.
Yeah, that was a braggeration of the situation.
I do like that guy's voice messages, though. He sends them from time to time.
No, he does. He's very good. So thanks for that, Sean. Boris Johnson was announcing some election results. And he says the British people have given his government a powerful new mandate, but behind him is an Elmo. Like an, you know, Elmo from Sesame Street. An Elmo, a guy in an Elmo suit standing behind him while he makes this announcement. Just listen to this, it's hilarious.
Thank you all very much. And listen, I don't want to tempt fate because clearly lots of results are still coming in and we're still only dealing with projections. But at this stage, it does look as though this One Nation Conservative government has been given a powerful new mandate. To get Brexit done. Thank you all very much.
It's not even a good Elmo because his human hand sticking out is touching his chin.
It's fantastic. I just love Elmo in the background. All right, what else is in the news, Leanne?
Ben, are you eating Omar Rusk's
with your
coffee?
I'm getting stuck into Gugu's Omar, yeah. Mm.
Okay.
Very good.
I brought Gugu. Gugu came into my office the other day. He's like, oh, where's the Rusk's?
And he really probably sounded like
That's how he asks for things. He doesn't go, hey, you wouldn't by any chance have one of your rusks to give me.
Does he knock?
No, he doesn't knock. Okay. You knock. Sia goes, excuse me, can I come in? Gugu just bursts through the door like
he's coming through the door.
Kramer.
He didn't even open it.
Like Kramer from Seinfeld. He just bursts in and he goes, where's the rusks? So I asked him, there aren't any. They're finished. So I brought him a box of them this morning. And Ben is already tucking them.
Chunky Omar.
Yeah,
ain't no Omar like a chunky one.
Right. Mm,
ball of cheese it is.
All right.
Garang milk biscuit bolikis.
All right.
So
Greta, what's going on?
How do you say her surname? Thunberg?
Thunberg
has hit back at Donald Trump after he tweeted telling her to chill. And then there is a photograph where she's in the back of this room staring at him and basically burning holes through the back of his head. Obviously, she's being the environmental activist and he is the climate change denier. Anyway, he tweeted, so ridiculous. Greta must work on her and anger management problem. Then go to an old-fashioned movie with a friend. Chilled, Greta, chill.
Yeah, so?
This is so petty.
Yeah, but okay.
She then replied minutes later.
He's trolling her.
Yes.
Donald Trump is having fun. This is what he does for fun. I can't believe that there are other adults in the world who don't see this for what it is. It's a guy in his 70s who has a great sense of humor. He really does.
Yeah. Picking on a teenager.
He's not picking on a teenager.
No one's picking on her, trust me. She's been thrust into this.
And trust me, if she's person of the year, she can handle it. And she did handle it. She handled it beautifully by changing her Twitter biography to exactly what Donald Trump had said about her.
Mm.
She's done this before. She did it when she'd made her speech at the UN. And Donald Trump says she's a very angry young woman. I hope she ends up having a happy life or whatever. And she changed her bio to it. So the two of them are playing the rest of you. You don't need to be offended on Greta's behalf or on Donald's.
Yeah, today it's a teenager working on her anger management problem. Currently chilling and watching a good old-fashioned movie with a friend. That's her new bio.
Great.
Which is totally the opposite of what she would normally do.
Yeah, good for her, good for him. And don't you all see, especially the people who are getting upset on Greta's behalf, they people who are not her parents stepping in to protect her suddenly. Get off your high horse.
I'm still fascinated by Election Elmo.
Yeah, it's the best thing ever. Boris, just you've got to see it. I retweeted it, so if you're on Twitter, you can see it.
There are certain things that don't sit well with me.
It's so English that at the moment of his great glory, the Prime Minister one of the most important countries in the world is standing there making a serious announcement, but he's got ridiculous hair, and behind him is an Elmo moving around. It's just great. It's so English. I just love that.
But Boris just, you look at him, he is the cousin at a bachelor party. He's there because of family obligations, and he's the most drunk, and he's the least funny. But yeah, that's Boris all day.
Just, he's really the most English person I can think
he's
of.
He's like the kind of guy, all right, chaps, where's the strippers?
Yeah.
He's that kind of guy.
Oh, hello, sir. You've come as well. Nice to see you. Yeah, have a drink with me.
What a rip-roarer this is going to be.
Fantastic. Who's brought the barbecue?
He's just great. He's just, I love this. This is very English. Very, very nice. All right. Every time someone leaves the show, I feel like it's a breakup when you're getting attached to somebody. I have slight heartache for Gugu leaving my straight boy crush, Jumin. Oh, shame.
Straight boy crush.
Mm. And wow. Apparently there is a thing called lohokla. Oh, alcohol backwards. Lohokla. It's for hangovers. It changed my life. That's interesting. You can apparently get it at retailers. Smoking a little weed is a great hangover cure, according to some people. Well, we're not doing that again.
Nope.
You guys sound traumatized. You spoke about it yesterday.
It did not go well, Gugu. Yeah.
Oh, you were on the couch, Ben.
I was on that couch. I was in that room. I was horizontal.
Ben was a complete disaster for days. Sean Gray saying, first they push Greta into the limelight. And she's seen as the strong voice of reason. No, she's a child being picked on. Oh, please, Trump's troll game is growing in strength. He is the king of the internet. He works the internet like a well-oiled machine. He really does. And if you don't feel that way about him, that's because you don't like him. But you've got to admit, he's better at the internet than you. He's definitely better than me.
Of course he is.
Yeah, so I'm more than happy to admit that he's the king of working people on the internet. You know, Gareth Armstrong, who used to do a show here, he asked an interesting question. He's in China. He said, if somebody from the 1950s suddenly appeared like this, what would be the most difficult thing to explain to them about your life today?
And porn.
You think so? I think they had porn in the 50s.
Online
they
dating. Didn't.
I think you... Please, cavemen were drawing pictures of dicks and... titties on cave walls, I guarantee it. But here's the answer, according to him. I possess a device in my pocket that is capable of accessing the entirety of information known to man. I use it to look at pictures of cats, and I get into arguments with strangers.
Spot on. Yeah. That is amazing.
That's exactly it, right?
And porn.
Yeah, and porn. Right. Moving on, what else is in the news?
Well, Gareth, it looks like Graham Smith might be changing cricket.
This is important. Mbulelo, you want to jump in on this too? You brought up how cricket South Africa is a disaster and they've, a whole lot of people resigned.
Well, we'd have to point to the obvious of that one. Momentum is the next brand who's now saying, unless that Chris Nanzani, whatever his name is, you know, pisses off, they probably won't put their money in the next year. And it's good because sponsors should have that sort of right and that pressure. But it's been rumored that Graham Smith will make Mark Boucher the coach.
Okay.
Which is good. And a lot of people will say, ah, but he's not worthy. How long has he been a coach for? We've got to just cut the shit in this country. Like, excellence must be put into a role where you need to be excellent. So that guy was the best wicketkeeper batsman we've ever had. Most prolific. He's done wonders with the Titans. So if he's there, then it's like structure and credibility. Jacques Cullis might become the batting consultant. Greatest ever all-rounder ever played the game. These are decent credentials, right? And then that guy who's currently in the mix, he'll stay in the mix, and then Victor Mpitsang will be the convener of selectors.
Okay.
So this is the first good story from Cricket South Africa for a month.
Well, that's...
A month. No, probably longer. Three, four... long time.
What do we think of this?
We just mustn't let any of those guys give diet advice to the cricket team, because all three are
fat.
Rotund.
Oh, really?
But love all three.
Well, the three of them, what have they been doing really since they stopped playing? Eating?
I wouldn't say eating. They're professionals, Gareth. Graham Smith is one of the best commentators, I think, going, because he's really he cares about the game and he's good at what he does. And Boucher's been coaching. Boucher's been doing the hard yards. Victor's actually not that fat. I saw him at a golf day recently.
No, Victor's all right, but I mean the other guys, and I love all of them, but they are carrying excess weight. Ben, let's be fair. That way, let's not have that around our team. But I love Smithers. He's going to bring some discipline. He's the greatest, statistically the greatest captain in Test history. So great to have him back in the mix.
And also, he's just one of those guys that's not going to take any shit. He'll just actually make people do something, and he understands what winning is. So few people know what winning is in this country because of this new norm of it's okay as long as it's South African. Bullshit. We've got to be global. And these guys are global superstars.
Yeah.
So that's nice to have global superstars running some national people.
All right. Very good. Ask, what do you want to throw in?
What, in terms of the cricket?
Yes. No. What do you think?
What do you think, Ask?
What do you think?
You don't really.
No, absolutely
what do you
nothing.
Think our chances against England are? Are you going to watch the Mzansi Super League final?
No, which is
a sellout,
definitely
I'll
not.
Tell you.
Oh, it's happening on Monday.
Yeah.
I know that.
Their reconciliation in Paul. It's
or do you have a date?
Sellout.
No.
Oh, okay.
I was actually invited to it. Okay.
You know what's also happening this weekend, Leanne?
What?
EFC 83 put.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh, is it this weekend?
Yeah.
Clapping.
Saturday, Sun Square, whatever.
Like,
in
what,
it.
With, so what's happening there, Ben? Are the Ikes going to get in the octagon and fuck each other up?
It is the biggest EFC of the year. Dirkus DPC versus Brendan Lazar. That's the big fight.
I'd much rather watch that.
Is that going to be aired live?
It'll be on SABC 3, I think.
What time?
I don't know. Just watch all the fights, Gugu. They all look me amazing. So yeah, I'm going there. You know, because obviously I'm making a series around Dirkus at the moment. So
you have
I get to spend
good.
Quite a lot of time with him. Today's the actual weigh-ins,
and you get access.
So watch my Insta stories. They're going to be that all weekend.
Lekker boot.
I'm so excited. I've got Boot Fighter on my phone now, so I'm going to play that tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then I'll be there, front and center. Like, I'm actually part of his crew, so I'm going to, like, walk out.
Yeah, you've got that tower.
You are, like, part of the hype. They're on hype, man. What's the clip? Like, that's the cool name.
So, like, I think this guy's one of the greatest sports people in this country. I said it before on the show, because I got to know what goes into the sport. And he's, like, a mentor to a whole bunch of other guys. And people think fighting is quite rough. Sure, you're going to go and blix him the oak, maybe kill him. But it is such a disciplined professional realm that you do this in that I've seldom come across sports people who are so genuine and so, like, just decent people.
And he's young, hey?
25.
Yeah.
Jesus.
But, like, they're good oaks. Like, they're really solid. And, so I want to do more in the fighting realm because of these dudes, because the sport's actually really interesting.
So how's the aggression, like, out of the octagon? Are they super aggressive, angry, I'll fuck you up?
No. So again, like, the whole professionalism comes in. Okay, like, if you're an up-and-coming guy, you're not sure of yourself, you've always got to try to portray something. Whereas with him, he knows exactly who he is and what he's about.
He knows he can kick ass.
So he doesn't ever have to, like, overshow or anything. But when it's business. Like, he switches on, and then,
that's the one sport I actually enjoy, Ben.
It's a really good sport.
It took me a while to follow.
All right,
so I had to confirm what the octagon was.
I got a question from Carl here. This is pretty hilarious. Carl says, it's not just the Elmo in the background of the Boris video. There's also a weird dustbin robot on the right in the Boris video. Why? How can they explain this? Well, Carl, this is an old tradition in British elections, and actually they've been doing this for years. There are ridiculous parties that contest in various, you know, municipalities and districts, the election. And Monty Python did a skit on this years ago. Listen to this. Give you an idea of what we're dealing with. Election night special, all right? Listen to this. You'll hear what...
Tonight special. There's great excitement here at the moment as we should be getting the first result through any moment now. We don't know where it'll be from. It might be from Leicester or from Luton. The polling's been quite heavy in both areas. Oh, wait a moment. I'm just getting a loud buzzing noise in my left ear. Excuse me, man. Leicester.
Well, it's a straight fight here at Leicester. On the left of the returning officer, you can see Arthur Smith, the sensible candidate, and his agent. And on the other side is the silly candidate, Jethro Walrus Titty, with his agent and his wife.
Here is the result for Leicester. Arthur J. Smith.
Sensible party.
30,612. Jethro Q. Walrus Titty.
Silly party.
32,108.
Well, there's the first result, and the silly party have held Leicester. What do you make of that, Norman?
Well, this is largely as I predicted, except that the silly party won. I think this is mainly due to the number of votes cast. Gerald.
Well, there's a swing here to the silly party, but how big a swing, I'm not going to tell you.
Well, if I may, I think the interesting thing here is the big swing to the silly party, and of course, a very large swing back to the sensible party, had a tendency to wobble up and down in the middle because the screw's loose.
I'm afraid I can't think of anything.
I can't add anything to that. Colin.
I just butt in at this point and say this is, in fact, the very first time I've ever appeared on television.
No, we haven't time because we're going straight over to Luton.
Here at Luton, it's a three-cornered fight between Alan Jones, sensible party, in the middle, Tarquin, Fim, Tim, Lim, Bim, Wim, Bim, Lim, Bustop, Patang, Patang, Ole, Biscuit Barrel, Silly Party, and Kevin Phillips, Bong, the slightly silly candidate.
Alan Jones.
On the left, sensible party.
9,112. Kevin Phillips, Bong.
On the right, slightly silly.
Naught. Tarquin, Fim, Tim, Lim, Bim, Wim, Bim, Limbus, Stop, Patang, Patang, Ole, Biscuit Barrel.
Silly.
12,441.
And so the silly party has taken Luton.
So you see, this is what happens, is that in Britain they try to... They try to show off their eccentrics in every one of these towns.
So what you're saying is that election Elmo was actually running as well.
Yes, he was probably a candidate in Boris's district. That's what I'm getting at, is that Boris beat that beat guy. Elmo. Yeah, he beat Elmo as an actual candidate. So it's not surprising. This is very, very good. I'm confused. Ben doesn't sound like Ben used to sound, says somebody on the messages this morning, Brendan.
Yeah, Brendan, it's not actually real me. That yeah.
Gareth, News 24 Proxy. Now have podcasts for their news stories. It is very painful to listen to. Please give them some advice.
No, fuck them.
No, let them keep on. Yeah, let them keep on screwing up. All right, who wants to speak to Dan Wells? He's one of the founders of Eskom Sapush, which is a brilliant app that a lot of people in South Africa use to try to figure out whether or not they're going to get load shed. Hey, Dan, nice to talk to you, man.
Hey, Gareth. How's it going?
First of all, congratulations. How many downloads have you guys had of this app?
Downloads is really hard to calculate, but a lot. In terms of active users, we've got over 1 million active users every day for the last 3 days.
My God. Well done. That's got to be a record, right? That's got to be the best app in South African history.
It's pretty damn high. That's quite a large portion of the population.
I see that you've just put on the app that you're talking to me.
You know, you've got to share the love.
Yeah.
That's amazing. All right, so a lot of people use this, and you guys were kind of blindsided by the fact that Eskom suddenly went to stage 6 without any announcement. But that's the first time that your app has been surprised by Eskom. How do you end up being reliable about a utility that's as unreliable as Eskom? How do you even get your information?
We try as hard as we can. So we use various different sources to try and one, capture all the different schedules that all the different municipalities have. So we've got, I think it's over 24 municipalities, and then all the Eskom schedules that we've loaded.
Yeah.
But in terms of knowing what stage it is, and what the schedule is for the late, in terms of the stage actually changing throughout the day.
Sure.
That's it's black magic to us.
Yeah.
And we just use all the sources that we can get, and we sort of combine them all to make a decision in terms of what's coming and what it is now.
It's brilliant. How do you guys make money? Because you shouldn't be doing this for nothing. You're providing a really useful service to millions of people. Mm. Surely there's a way you can make some cash back out of this. It's expensive to develop apps and software and have the constant updates issued, and I mean, I know what this is like because we've got our own app as well. It doesn't come for nothing. And you don't charge people a subscription. So how does it work?
Yeah, it's a free app. Obviously, it has to be a free app. We want it always to be a free app because we want it to be able to, just be there to be helpful for people. But there's a tiny little advert that's in the application. And every time that's shown or someone clicks on it, we get half of a cent.
Yeah.
Which really, really helps us to, it's a tiny amount of money that's coming through, but it does actually help in terms of paying the hosting costs and then all the other fees that are sort of related behind the scenes in terms of running it.
But you're telling me it still costs you a lot of money and you're not making like millions out of it. So why do it?
For fun, really. We really enjoy doing it. It's a bit stressful sometimes, but we have quite a lot of fun with it. So I don't know if you've noticed, in terms of that status, even in the app now, it says the forecast shows scattered showers with some light stage 2 from 9 until 11. We like to add a little bit of humor into the app, because we like to have a bit of fun with it.
Sure.
And Yeah.
What do you have?
It's our playground.
Do you have a trust fund or something that you can do this for fun?
I don't know. No.
What do you do for, what's your normal job? What do you actually spend your time doing productively?
I won't necessarily name them, but it's one of the biggest e-commerce companies in South Africa. I work for the fashion-related company next to them.
Excellent.
Also have a very, very popular mobile application, for buying fashion online. But that's my normal job. I'm in a management position there.
Good.
And to sort of keep my coding skills up and active, I play with Eskom Sabush.
It's fantastic. How did the name come about?
it's quite a fun story. So we Hermann, who I work with, to make Eskom Sabush. We used to work together in the same company a couple of years ago. And we used to have some of our customers with very strong Afrikaans accents. And we were working in mobile banking security, and there used to be, we used to talk about push notifications.
Yes.
But in a very strong Afrikaans accent, that comes out as push. A push notification. And we used to have a little side chuckle every time someone used to say that. So. Yeah. Hey, we used to build apps. We built an app back in 2015 for Eskom Sapush, and we were like, went through a bunch of names, and we were like, no, this is perfect. It's push notifications for Eskom schedules, and putting on a little bit of a South African twist to it, with Eskom Sapush.
Well, it's brilliant. I love it, and I think that you're providing an incredibly useful and helpful service to many people. Have you guys been wrong often? I mean, does it happen that people complain, even though you're doing this for free, that you've been wrong? My neighborhood, it only went off at 4. It was meant to go off at 2, according to your app. Like your Eskom.
All the time, Garrett. Yeah. All the time. So yesterday and earlier this week, especially with the Stage 6 stuff, we were getting about 4,000 emails every hour from people telling us, you don't support Stage 6. And we're like, we know. We're scrambling to get it ready. What also happens is sometimes... Sorry.
No, go on.
Sorry.
Sometimes?
What also happens is sometimes we say that your power is going to go off at 2 o'clock. So it doesn't go off at 2 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So we get an email from someone saying, you told us it was going to go off at 2. And then 5 minutes later, they email us again and say, oh, sorry, it went off.
Oh my gosh.
And then 2.5 hours later, they email me and say, it hasn't come back on yet. And then 5 minutes later, they say, oh, it came back on.
They think you're Eskom.
That
makes me hate people, honestly. But just to look quickly at what Stage 8 would look like.
Mm-hmm.
Midnight until 2:30, no power. 4 o'clock in the morning to 6:30. 6:30 to 8:30.
Are you speaking English?
2 o'clock to 4:30. 4 o'clock to 6:30. 8 o'clock to... every half hour hour, your power goes off.
If that happens, we can switch off the country. Everything needs to be put in mothballs. Just quickly, Dan, I see also someone says that you guys are obviously Celine Dion lovers, because on the app it says the status, and then it goes near, far, wherever you are, right?
With the emails, we decided, well, we're just two guys. We can't respond to these emails, and we're not responding to quite a lot of them,
right.
If not 99% of them. So we added chat into the app so people can talk to each other nearby. So they can tell each other that their power's off or not off.
So that's kind of like the new version of the News 24 comment section.
Mm.
It is. Yeah, it's incredible. It's becoming a bit of a cesspool.
Yeah.
But we've been having a bit of fun with it. There is abuse control, so you can report people, and it deletes chats if it's detecting things going a little bit haywire.
Well, thank you very much for what you do, and it's terrific to catch up with you, and good luck with the rest of this app. I hope it continues to be something that people enjoy, even though it's something that's not enjoyable in terms of what it tells us about. And I hope you make some money out of it, man. You deserve to.
Cool. Thanks, Gareth. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Dan. There we go. There's Dan Wells. He's one of the co-founders of Eskom Sapush. What a great app.
But even in the darkest hour of this country, we have South Africans that will do something like that.
We have a sense of humor.
We're such good people here.
Speaking of having a sense of humor, someone who makes us smile, because we know when he's here it's Friday, is George Meany. You haven't seen George for a while, hey, Ben?
No.
Hey, Gareth. How's it been?
Two months.
All right, what's happening, George?
Gareth's running off. I mean, Ben's running off into the sunset doing good things. So.
Sometimes.
Yeah. didn't you help Ben with what car he had to buy at some point?
George always gives me good advice, but I went under the radar with that.
Okay.
Anyway, enough about me.
Very good.
You can help me, George. I'm in the market.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, Leanne needs to get herself a new car.
All right. Yes.
Before it stops being a car.
What's happening, George?
So Toyota intends to move people in new ways and new kinds of vehicles. What's been odd about Toyota is they haven't entered the electric car race significantly. They haven't entered the electric car race properly like other manufacturers. And everybody's been wondering what's going on underneath all of this, for lack of a better word, silence. And they're planning a new product line, which is... defining their company as a mobility company rather than an electric car company. So they want to create brand new looking things that transport and deliver people from one point to another in creative ways. So this little thing is called the e-pallet. And it comes in one-seaters, two-seaters, four-seaters, and they're going to be introducing this at the 2020 Tokyo Summer Olympics and Paralympics.
What do you think of it? Be honest.
You know, to be that radical, I think the company might go backwards before it goes forwards.
But they almost kind of have to have an approach, I guess, because Nissan's had the Leaf for quite a long time. BMW and Merck and all those companies are doing that. Tesla's doing it. They had to do something different.
They have to do something different, exactly.
Because of where they are in the, like you say, they're quite late to the race.
Yeah.
So they have to have a different angle, even if it's not the best.
Yes. So, you know, Toyota, if you looked at a map of Africa, it would be painted red because it's just so full of Toyota. Africa is one of the most penetrated markets when it comes to Toyota.
How old are you, Gareth?
Old enough to know what penetration means.
Anytime anyone says that word, I have to go.
Market penetration, just for Gareth. We had the last Formula One Grand Prix at Abu Dhabi 2 weeks ago, and Schumacher's 2002 F1 Ferrari was auctioned off for 97 million rand. Second most expensive Formula One car ever auctioned off. The most expensive Formula One car ever auctioned off was the previous Ferrari, the 2001, which went for 110 million rand.
Sorry, I know a pretty stupid question. With the engine?
I would assume it would be with the engine, yes. But I don't know.
What is he going to do with it?
Sometimes.
Like someone's not buying that because they want to go racing. They're buying it so they can have it. It's probably going to end up in like a bar in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, but I mean, I would imagine it would have the engine in it.
For that much money, you should bloody well hope so.
Yeah, but I wouldn't think that the buyer would be wanting to race this thing around a track. And the reason I say I think the engine would be in it is because there's been others that have been sold off, and then you see them appear on a track. And somebody takes them for a spin. So look at Senna's, one of Senna's old cars that somebody owns has been on a track recently. So I would imagine that it's got its engine in it.
Okay.
And then a funny story is priests are the most dangerous, or among the most dangerous drivers.
Priests.
Is that just outside of schools?
In the United Kingdom.
Well, their collars are so tight they can't check their blind spots.
So when insurance companies...
The kids are their blind spots.
Oh, my word.
This is getting pissed.
You've offended CSO so bad right now.
Priests
are among the most of the worst drivers in London, and this comes from a study from insurance companies, because when you apply for insurance in the UK, they have to score you based on driving offences that you incur, and priests are the seventh worst drivers and most dangerous drivers in the UK.
But George, the question is, where are nuns? Eighth or sixth?
Nuns aren't on the list. Car dealers, very, very surprisingly, are fourth.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that.
So very, very interesting that, also men were found to be 6 times more likely to be dangerous drivers than women.
Well, of course.
And convictions found that men between the ages of 20 to 24 carry the majority.
Yeah, and you women don't start getting superior. The only reason you have cars is because of men.
Wow.
You'd be walking to work if it wasn't for men inventing cars. Think about that.
So the most dangerous drivers in the UK are warehouse loaders.
Oh.
That makes sense.
With those little forklifts? Because those get into accidents.
The thing about it, like, they don't like their job, so they're always late.
Yeah,
and they're lugging stuff around.
Warehouse loaders, the most dangerous drivers in the UK. Beware. And then a Chinese carpenter has made a sports car out of wood entirely.
That's a stupid waste of time. And if he gets into an accident, it's also a fire hazard.
Exactly. But it's taken him 8 years to build this car, cost him 27,000 Rand, and he sold wooden bikes to raise money to build this thing.
Good on him. Forget what Gareth said. That's brilliant.
Mm. It's brilliant. I think it's I think it's good, you know. Although he's right, though. If that gets into an accident, he might be impaled.
Impaled? He'll catch, but it'll be like Joan of Arc at the funeral pyre. Trust me.
Yeah, you rub two pieces of wood together fast enough, you're going to get a fire.
Right. And if the whole thing's made of wood, obviously the engine isn't.
Yeah, the engine and the electronic components are all from the Mercedes.
Everything's made of wood, but the engine.
And the chassis.
And the chassis. And the steering wheel. And then this. And then that. Eventually, so only 10% of the thing's made of wood.
That's not the main
thing. So was that station wagon in the 1970s with the wood paneling on the sides.
And then everybody's experienced the floods in the last week.
Yes.
And cars have been swept away, but which car
is the best for a flood?
The one that floats, which is
none of them. Because I've watched some videos of...
That wooden car would float pretty well, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that wooden car would probably do well.
Oh, who's the idiot now?
In St. William, where there was flooding, there were a couple of cars that were washed away, and some of them floated better than others. For example, I saw a Polo, which was riding higher than a Mercedes-Benz. Do you think a Polo would be better then?
I don't know. Mm. Maybe the ones with the biggest tires on, with the most air.
Or the ones that seal the best on the doors.
Or seal the best on the doors, yeah. Some of the really rugged 4x4s, maybe.
So here is some genuine and real and useful advice if you ever are in a car that goes into water and you need to get out of the car. You've got to be careful not to try and open the door if there's less water in the car than there is outside. Because first of all, it's going to be difficult to open the door. And second of all that water is going to rush in and then you could drown. So wait until the level, if you can get out, get out. But if not, the level inside the car is equal to the level outside the car, then you should be able to open the door fairly easily and escape. And the same obviously goes for windows.
So that's because of pressure, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the pressure equalizes, which means you can open the door or the window. You can't open the doors and the windows because the pressure is uneven.
Yeah.
But Centurion was the worst, as you say. Cars got washed away. Pretoria North was second. Bronco Sprate was third. And then Botshabelo in the Free State, as well as Frankfurt, Zeerust, and a couple of other areas. So these floods were widespread. They were huge. All over the parts of Gauteng.
Get a load of rubber dinghy in the back of your car if you live in any of those areas, because you may need it.
I saw a video of somebody driving there, what I thought was a Land Rover, with the water wading over the bonnet to get to his house.
Sure.
And then driving into his driveway and the car came out of the water.
Wow. Some cars are good at these things. Those ones with the
snorkel.
They've got a snorkel in them.
Well, there you can just go through anything with that snorkel.
You can go deep, huh?
Yeah, you can go deep. That's all.
Because, the only thing that stops the car is the air intake taking in water.
Mm. That's it. By the way, if you've got that covered, you're okay.
Yeah. All right.
Very useful.
And, out of interest, you know that if your car takes in water, the warranty... may be nullified.
What do you mean?
So like your cell phone, if you get water damage, some warranties could be nullified if your car takes in water, because the engine can't handle water, because water is not a combustible liquid, and it causes the piston arms to bend.
Oh.
Oh, Sia's just taken a lot in there. Oh. You go, Sia, piston arm, that's your new one. The piston arm, my rear suspension's faulty.
And your warranty could actually be nullified.
Very good. Well, you've got to look after your car and don't drive into water that's too deep. And also, remember, it only takes 20 centimeters of water on a low water bridge for you to be washed away.
That's very true.
Yeah, so you've got to, you don't think you're some kind of hero, no matter what your car is.
I think the trick is abandon your car. If your car starts sliding, just get out of the thing, because it's more of a hazard for you to be in the car than out of the car.
Absolutely. And you don't want to be washed down the river. That's no fun at all. All right, well, you're away. You're going away for the next – this is the last
physical update.
You're going to be on the line next week.
I'll be on the line next Friday, yeah.
Okay. Where are you flying to, George? No, he's not flying to George.
I'm not flying to George.
That's expensive. George is too expensive to fly to.
It's because SAA cancelled all the flights and then I think reinstated them.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to be in South Africa. I'm not going to say right now. I'll tell you after the fact, Ben.
Okay. Very exciting locations.
Private.
Yeah.
Can't tell us now.
I've
Jeff
stuck
Epstein's
to
Island? What is it?
Jeffrey Epstein's Island. I wonder what's happening on that island.
Jeffrey Epstein's Island.
I wonder if you could buy it for a steal now.
You probably could be able to.
I mean, no one else wants it, right? The creepy stuff that's supposed to have happened there.
I think the next Firefest will be there.
Yeah, that's a probable reason for it to exist and to keep working. Don't forget, we've got this discussion with Ronnie Kasrils coming up a little bit later on, the former South African government minister, leading member of the African National Congress, both during the apartheid era and immediately after. He also resigned when Thabo Mbeki was thrown out of power and has become a real thorn in the side of the ANC since then, criticizing them left, right, and center. As any person of good conscience could and should, when you find yourself in disagreement with a party like that. But it is Friday, and we're not doing too much politics. So if you want to hear that, you can also always listen to the podcast and download it directly from cliffcentral.com. It's been fun. Here are a couple of comments before we go. Gareth, I'm still not over George eating a kilo of broccoli a day. Are you still doing that? Jesus. You still doing that?
Yes, I am. It's hard now in December because you got all these, you know, these nice things that get put in front of you. So it's tougher in December. And what was his name?
The person who sent this message?
Yeah,
this is from Sandile.
Sandile, I don't make a religion out of it. So, I think that's the trick to anything is don't make a religion out of it.
All right. Eskom apparently posted a picture of their control center on Twitter a few days ago. They are still running what looks like Windows Vista. Even if we're kind and we say it's Windows 7, Microsoft stopped support for that OS in 2015. How not surprising is that? That's from Lee. Sure. Is that true, Microsoft Vista?
I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Good Lord. Yeah. And then I'm going to Google Play now. I'm going to give Eskom's a push 5 stars. These guys need the motivation to counter those idiots who are emailing them. Isn't it amazing? You create an app which is helping people.
For free.
For free. You put it out there. You are working hard to keep it updated. And people find a reason to complain. Useless, unproductive, slothful people.
I tell you,
grateful gobshites.
Yeah.
In my area, we have a couple of WhatsApp groups, which I think most suburbs have.
Most neighborhoods.
And I'm on the committee of the state we live in. And,
wow. You're very officious, George.
Well, it's protecting my own investment. But but the councillor for our area, the ward councillor for our area, we know him, and he's on all those chats. And I was flabbergasted during these load shedding times that people attacked him.
Oh, it's his fault.
It's his fault.
Because you know what this is? These are people who are raised badly, right, Ben?
Yeah.
Their parents didn't teach them that you have to be responsible for yourself, that you can't blame other people, that it's not that government aren't going to come and save you. They're looking for a daddy or a mommy, and when they don't get what they want, they have a tantrum with their daddy and mommy, and they see this guy as the daddy.
To the three guys that lambasted him, go and cry on your mommy's shoulder.
Yeah, exactly. And you want to say worse things, I know, George, but you're too polite.
Exactly.
Ben will say them. Ungrateful
gobshites.
All right, Ben, well, you have a happy Christmas and New Year.
Thanks, guys, I will. And in the New Year, I will see you.
Yes, we will see Ben more often, more regularly.
Oh.
Yes. George?
That's are you against that, George?
Absolutely not.
What? Are you
carried so many things, like why wasn't I consulted? What the fuck?
Really?
It was more
are
a WTF.
You against that, George?
You need to all shed right. some of that in 2020.
Happy Christmas and Happy New Year to everybody. And Gugu, it's been fun, but you're not leaving completely. You'll still come back and visit us, right?
Yeah, I'll still pull in from time to time.
And upset people. Ben,
you will?
Yeah.
Yeah. Occasionally, you see, there's a lot of tension.
You won't see Gugu, and then Gord will come back for one show, and there'll be Gugu going, "Jeepers, Gord, you messed that toilet up, eh, boy."
Bastard.
That is still Ben's favorite moment from the show, is the episode where Gord was confronted with using the loo.
He was convicted of using the loo.
Yeah, that's true. And it was Ben's favorite thing. He replays it. You've saved it, haven't you, as a clip?
It was such a funny turnaround. Everything was so nice and polite. It was like, yassus, but you messed up that toilet. And then Gordon's in defensive for like 3 minutes. As his bowel movements were then just highlighted across everyone.
All right, we will see you on Monday. Have a good weekend and behave yourself. It's a long weekend, not Monday. We'll see you on Tuesday. Yes, because the 16th is Reconciliation Day, which Jonathan Witt reliably informs us is the day that people do the stupidest stuff. They get the drunkest.
Well, it's the 9th of the 14th, 15th, whatever.
So this weekend is basically the worst time for doctors, and we have lots of doctors who listen to us. So good luck to all of you. I mean, what can we say? It's just going to be all kinds of hell. I hope it doesn't go too badly. And please don't throw concrete rubbish bins out of the windows of apartment buildings, because this is what people do. And it's just so unnecessary, really. Totally uncalled for.
It's upgraded from washing machines to concrete bins.
No, it's just as bad as it's ever been, and now people, fridges, all that stuff goes in any case, but if you can behave yourself over this weekend and make it to Christmas, that would be nice. You know, there might actually be family who love you, who do want to see you, who are excited
or
to
walking at the bottom of the building to come visit you and get hit by
your concrete rubbish bin. Yes, all right. Thanks, everybody. CliffCentral.com.